WHRW Binghamton.
It's obscene, it's indecent, it's perverse and bizarre. But employers are asking you for a sample of your excrement as a condition of employment. Computer professionals opposing drug testing reminds that you always have a choice. You can just say no to drug testing. If you want more information on how drug testing violates your rights and what your options are, check out the website www.ip4noman.org. That's letter I, letter P, number 4, noman.org.
This message brought to you by the Computer Professionals Opposing Drug Testing.
This program may contain materials which can be considered offensive. The views stated belong to the engineers and do not reflect the views of the governing body of WHRW or other WHRW members. Tonight I ask you to consider thoroughly whether we or our children should be listening tonight. And above all, listen to your mom or dad, as they are evil. Thank you and good evening.
Recently opened its Hot Food Kitchen, serving vegetarian lunch 5 days a week, from 12 to 3:30 p.m. You don't have to be a member to eat, though membership is encouraged. If you are looking for a delicious, healthy alternative to dining halls, come visit us and sit down for a hot vegetarian meal. We are located in the Old Union above the West Lounge. Oh, and save some for me.
The following program is a presentation of WHRW's Public Affairs Department. The views expressed are those of the show's host and various guests and may not reflect the views of WHRW's management or of other WHRW station members. This program may contain frank language and/or material. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen.
It's 6:34 here on WHRW, and that means it's time for Cognitive Liberty Airwaves.
Let's go.
was our shot. Get the sound. Let it pop. Nobody who knows what they're talking about. Hey.
Against drugs. I think it's a personal choice. Just like alcohol, just like cigarettes. As long as that personal choice does not infringe upon the freedoms of another person's personal choice. Really, that's the end of the story. That's called logic. It'll help you. George Bush says we are losing the war on drugs. Well, you know what that implies? There's a war going on, and people on drugs are winning it. Ah! Well, what does that tell you about drugs? Some smart, creative motherfuckers on that side. They're winning a war and they're fucked up. A lot of y'all don't even know you're fighting, do you? You're sitting there, I'm watching Saturday Night Live. Are we winning? Look, I feel like my flank is covered. Honey, bring me a beer. I got a war to win. What war is that? You know, the war on drugs is hypocrisy, man. That's why it's not going to work. It's a lie. Alcohol and cigarettes kills more people than crack, coke, and heroin combined. So the war on drugs is really sort of a... getting it. You alcoholics are going, yeah, we're next. If they're fighting drugs, we can be taken. Drug guys are creative motherfuckers. We're just obnoxious, man. We're fucking out there. You know the problem with the war on drugs is they lump all drugs together. You know what I mean? Pot and crack. And they're not the same. Not only do I think pot should be legalized, I think it should be mandatory. Think about it. You get in traffic behind somebody. Shut up and smoke that. It's the law. Oh, sorry, I was taking life seriously. Oh, I'm sorry about all that noise. I thought it mattered. Oh, man, who's hungry? That'd be a nice world, wouldn't it? Mellow, hungry, fucked up people everywhere. Domino's pizza trucks passing each other on every highway. Parades of Domino's. Let them get stuck in traffic. All our pizzas will be free.
Chaos never died. Primordial, uncarved block, soul, worshipful monster, inert and spontaneous, more ultraviolet than any mythology, like the shadows before Babylon. The original, undifferentiated oneness of being still radiates serene as the black penance of assassins, random and perpetually intoxicated. Okay. chaos comes before all principles of order and entropy. It's neither a god nor a maggot. Its idiotic desires encompass and define every possible choreography. All meaningless ethers and phlogistons, its masks are crystallizations of its own facelessness, like clouds. Everything in nature is perfectly real, including consciousness. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. Not only have the chains of the law been broken, they never existed. Demons never guarded the stars. The Empire never got started. Eros never grew a beard. No, listen, what happened was this. They lied to you, sold you ideas of good and evil, gave you distrust of your body and shame for your prophethood of chaos, invented words of disgust for your molecular love, mesmerized you with inattention, bored you with civilization and all its usurious emotions. There is no becoming, no revolution, no struggle, no path. Already, you're the monarch of your own skin. Your inviolable freedom waits to be completed only by the love of other monarchs. A politics of dream, urgent as the blueness of sky. To shed all the illusory rites and hesitations of history demands the economy of some legendary stone age. Shamans, not priests. Bards, not lords. Hunters, not police. Gatherers of Paleolithic laziness, gentle as blood, going naked for a sign or painted as birds, poised on the wave of explicit presence, the clockless now ever. Agents of chaos cast burning glances at anything or anyone capable of bearing witness to their condition, their fever of lux et voluptas. I am awake only in what I love and desire to the point of terror. Everything else is just shrouded furniture, quotidian anesthesia for brains, sub-reptilian ennui of totalitarian regimes, banal censorship and useless pain. Avatars of chaos act as spies, saboteurs, criminals of amor fou, neither selfless nor selfish, accessible as children, mannered as barbarians, chafed with obsessions, unemployed, sensually deranged, wolf angels, mirrors for contemplation, eyes like flowers, pirates of all signs and meanings. Here we are, crawling the cracks between walls of church, state, school, and factory, all the paranoid monoliths. Cut off from the tribe by feral nostalgia, we tunnel after lost words, imaginary bombs. Last possible deed is that which defines perception itself, an invisible golden cord that connects us, illegal dancing in the courthouse corridors. If I were to kiss you here, they'd call it an act of terrorism. So let's take our pistols to bed and wake up the city at midnight like drunken bandits celebrating with a fusillade the message of the taste of chaos.
lack of love in the turbulent climate of the 60s, combined with the sensational publicity caused by the drug and its easy availability, have triggered the rampant psychedelic craze. Dr. Sidney Cohen, chief of psychiatry at the Wadsworth Veterans Administration Hospital in Los Angeles, and author of an LSD survey called The Beyond Within, describes the evolution of the drug from its less frenetic beginnings.
Since that day, 23 years ago, when Dr. Albert Hoffman accidentally inhaled enough lysergic acid diethylamide to cause him to take to his bed, LSD has passed through three distinct phases. The first was a period of scientific investigation, when a variety of mental aberrations were examined. At that time, the LSD state was called a model psychosis, a schizophrenia in miniature. Later, some of the scientists observed that many of the reactions were not madness at all, and they proceeded to explore the possibility that the drug might be effective in the treatment of certain mental disorders, that it might help us understand the creative process, the nature of perception, and other human mental activities. Today, scientific research with LSD is declining. 5 years ago, the second period began, the idyllic, psychedelic, evangelic era. This was a movement spawned at Harvard by Drs. Leary and Alpert, later to infiltrate many a campus and offbeat group. The psychedelic persuaders made the most attractive assertions that the experience would free us from life's games so that we could enter into non-game ecstasy, that our mental abilities would multiply 100-fold, that our consciousness would be expanded out to the ultimate. Now the third phase is upon us. In the past 2 years, the acid head has taken over. Most of the takers are out for fun and LSD high. The doses are upped, the music gets louder, the lights swirl faster, and the chap who freaks out just hasn't passed the acid test. A surprising number of these youngsters don't even know who Timothy Leary is. Or if they do, they think he's the guy who started the party.
Psychologist Timothy Leary, a smooth-talking 45-year-old, is regarded as the leading American LSD missionary, as well as the movement's most controversial figure. His early LSD experiments, where he used Harvard University undergraduates, resulted in his expulsion from the school's faculty. Recently, he was facing a jail sentence as lengthy as 30 years for transporting marijuana. Leary has appealed the verdict. While out on bail, his seductive talks on the virtues of LSD draw huge college audiences.
The LSD trip is a pilgrimage far out beyond your normal mind, into that risky and revelatory territory which has been explored for thousands of years. By mystics and visionary philosophers. In the last year, we are told that perhaps 1 million Americans, most of them young people, have made the LSD experience a part of their lives. Is this a social menace and a cause for alarm? I don't think so. I see nothing less than the speedy evolution of a new indigenous religion. The LSD religionist knows that the temple of worship is the human body, that the shrine must be located not in a public place, but in the privacy of your own home. And that the congregation cannot extend beyond your family and your closest friends. In 15 years, the high school and college students who are experimenting with LSD will be running many of our institutions and guiding public policy. Remember, the college students who are using LSD and marijuana today do not comprise a criminal class. They are not drug addicts seeking to escape. They are your best educated, your most creative, and your most courageous young people. And like it or not, they're going to build you a new civilization.
Push alcohol 24 hours a day on TV. They push it down your throat. Drink beer, drink beer, drink beer. Why? Well, because it makes you slow and stupid and docile, and that's the way we like you to be. You know, it's only the number two killer drug in the world, but I've actually seen beer commercials during war against drugs specials. No sense of irony. No irony, you know. Marijuana, you know, cigarettes legal, alcohol legal, kill more people than all other illegal drugs combined times 1,000. They are illegal. Marijuana, a drug that kills no one. And let's put it in a time frame. Ever. Marijuana is against the law. You tell me why. I've given up. You want a better world, legalized pot, okay? It's a better drug, I'm telling you, it's better. I'll prove it to you. You're at a ball game, you're at a concert, someone's really violent, aggressive, and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot?
Drunk!
Wow, we all know the truth. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it's fucking impossible.
Yeah!
They bite. They would. End of argument. Say you get in a car accident and you've been smoking pot. You're only going 4 miles an hour. She hit something.
Yeah!
Got to open the garage door to eat. Okay, I forgot we were going in reverse. At least no one was hurt. Garage door has to be replaced. Boom! A job has been created.
This has been Cognitive Liberty Airwaves. Hope you have enjoyed the mix. Let me tell you what we've been listening to. We heard some Haikim Bay, which was produced by Bill Laswell. This is in random order. We heard Brian Eno and Robert Fripp from No Pussyfooting. We also heard more Bill Laswell, Divination, Ambient Dub, Volume 2, Dead Slow. We also heard an album called LSD, a documentary report on the current psychedelic drug controversy. I can't find a date on this, but it looks like it's from about maybe 1969 or 1970. It's vinyl. And we also heard Talking Heads from Fear of Music, and that track was called Drugs. And I think we're going to end the show with what we used as the theme song for the show last semester. See you next week at this time, Thursday at 6:30. Peace. By the way, we also heard some Bill Hicks in there, of course. See you later. One pill makes you small, and the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and